Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
The U.S. Supreme Court has declined to hear an appeal from Michelle Kosolek, the convicted murderer who has been seeking a sex change surgery while held in a men's prison in Norfolk, Massachusetts.
Michelle, born Robert Kosolek, was found guilty of murdering her wife, Cheryl, in 1990 and sentenced to life in prison.
A landmark ruling in 2012 by U.S. District Court Judge Mark Wolf originally found in favor of Kosolek, saying denying her surgery constituted cruel and unusual punishment. But the Massachusetts Department of Corrections appealed, and the decision was reversed by the First Circuit late last year. So joining us now is Jennifer Levy, director of the Transgendered Rights Project for GLAAD, the Boston group that represented Kosolek at the Supreme Court and in these court hearings. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So first of all, now that the United States Supreme Court has rejected to hear the appeal, where does that leave you, where does that leave Michelle in terms of options?
Well, the Department of Corrections has a continuing obligation to provide for her adequate medical needs, but obviously this is a huge disappointment because it means that Judge Wolf's decision that ordered the Department of Corrections to provide her gender transition-related surgery won't be carried out by the prison system.
Mm. And Wolf's original order, or it was a 127-page ruling, said that that surgery was the only adequate care for an inmate's gender identity disorder. I mean, that's how it has been reported. I'm wondering if there are any other possible treatments which Michelle Kosolek thinks are versions of adequate care. I mean, I'm seeing that Boston Globe has reported therapy, hormone treatments, facial hair removal.
Yeah. Well, just to be clear, I mean, what the district court said is that the surgery it ordered was the only adequate medical care for her. Mm-hmm. There's no one-size-fits-all, you know, treatment for transgender people who face the serious and disabling condition of gender dysphoria. The determination is an individualized one, and it was the Department of Corrections' own medical experts who said that it was essential that she receive this surgery.
Mm. Now,
the prison will have to continue providing her other treatments, but those, the court said, were not adequate to treat the condition that she suffers from.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you could just describe to us sort of how Michelle Kosolek herself has has she tried to do to herself while waiting for the possibility of this surgery? I mean, has she tried to self-harm?
She has. The reality is that for transgender people who can't get the medical treatment that they need, that the consequences are dire, and people do harm themselves up to and including attempts and successful suicide efforts. So, I mean, there were experts who testified in front of Judge Wolf about the essential medical need. And there's no real question within the medical community about the importance of providing surgery for someone who suffers from gender dysphoria.
Which is part of what informed Mark Wolf's decision back in 2012. But of course, that was turned over on appeal. And I think that a lot of folks who've been keeping up with this case or maybe even listening to this conversation, one of the sticking points for them is that, the sexual reassignment surgery aside, Michelle Kosolek has been convicted of murder, and that this surgery could cost anywhere between, I'm seeing numbers ranging from $7,000 to $50,000, and that would be taxpayer-funded if done while Michelle Kosolek was in prison. And that's not necessarily something that, you know, maybe some taxpayers want to pay.
Well, that I have no doubt of that. But it's the reason why we have a constitutional guarantee that requires that once we incarcerate someone and we take away their ability to provide for themselves, that we have to provide them adequate medical care. Our American system, it rests on the fundamental principle of the dignity of all human beings, including those who we send to prison. And it's one of the bedrock principles of our constitutional founding goals that the Bill of Rights aren't given up by those who we incarcerate. And the Eighth Amendment is there to protect people who are unpopular and also protect to ensure that people receive the basic medical needs that they have. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, you know, many people don't have either familiarity or expertise in this particular area is not supposed to diminish the constitutional guarantees that someone like Michelle should be provided.
Mm. I'm wondering, is there an option to move Kosolek to a women's facility instead of the men's prison that she's now at?
Well, to be clear, that question was never an issue in this case, but assuredly transgender women should be housed in women's facilities, and any other placement is unsafe and inhumane. And I think increasingly we see prison systems across the country recognizing that. And I certainly hope that the Massachusetts Department of Corrections would also modernize its placement rules as well.
Jennifer Levy is the director of the Transgendered Rights Project for GLAAD. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you.
And stay with us. Coming up, in the age of Google and Amazon, do we still need public libraries? Our next guest says yes, more than ever. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.